I'm going to start right out with some music from my first guests. And none of them, I don't think any of them are radio virgins.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Barb, all those years
all
that
those
Chuck
years.
Was on the radio, you never, well, we have one radio virgin, but we have a virgin CD by the band, the Sedona Fire Band. Pages of the Mind just came out. It's a beautiful looking and beautiful sounding, and you can join them at Gala tomorrow night for their CD release party. Have a listen. And stick with us. Thanks for being here. Dusty roads will lead me to Santa Fe. Well, not me, but my guests, and or at least one of them, and I think that's where the song came from. Sedona Torres is the writer of all of the words and lots of the music, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Very exciting. And you were here before as a duo.
Yes, yeah, and our band definitely has evolved since then.
I guess.
Yeah, seven members total.
Seven members, fantastic. And two of the members are here. Mm-hmm. And although it turns out that we, much to my shock, Barb McLaughlin is a radio virgin. Mm-hmm. However, Chuck McLaughlin is a whole nother story because he was one of our original programmers. He's been on the board of Coast Community Radio. He's been president of the board of Coast Community Radio. And he fired things up, talking of Sedona Fire Band. He fired things up getting KTCB going in the North Tillamook County, and it's great to have you back here anytime. And he's even wearing a KMUN t-shirt, one of my favorites, too.
Yes, Carol, well, yeah. It's always a delight to be where you are.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And Duke loves having you here, too. So, Pages of the Mind, where does the title come from?
That's a good question. Pages of the Mind is something that I wrote that you'll notice on, I think it was track three, is Pages mm-hmm. of the Mind. It's a little bit more jazzier of a piece. People will enjoy in the CD. It's very eclectic. It has a lot of different styles of things that we like.
Oh, nice.
but the Pages of the Mind was about me going back and looking at all of, I did a lot of poetry. That's kind of how I got started with songwriting and then transferred it into songwriting. And one of the biggest things that I enjoy doing is I like looking back at some of my poetry, and it's kind of my journal writing.
Pages.
So Pages of the Mind was about going back and looking at all that stuff. And I thought this CD is quite personal in the sense is a lot about my personal journey. And so we thought it was appropriately named.
How long have you been out here on the coast?
Since Oregon? 05.
Okay.
Yeah, and at that time I was just doing a little bit of songwriting, wasn't really performing at that time, but music's been a big part of my life, most of my life, in performing, but yeah.
And I see that in addition to the vocals and mm-hmm. Writing the material, you play flute.
Yes.
And percussion?
I just assist.
I was going to say we've got two percussionists
yeah.
here.
I would say percussion is in shakers or tambourines. When they grow, they're more hands.
Yeah.
And they can kind of do everything, but they're not quite there yet, so I got to help them out.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's about my speed. Yeah. So that and washboard. So, Barbara, what are you playing with the band? Mostly?
Well, I started out playing percussion, and I play the conga drum and the quinto drum and a lot of the hand percussion, the shakers and the tambourines.
Okay, what's the quinto?
Quinto is a smaller conga.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing the largest and the smallest. The largest is called the tumba, and the smallest is called the quinto. And so I play those two.
You're doing your hands. Does that mean they're all in your lap?
Or no, they're
floor.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Congas, yeah.
But recently I've just learned I'm learning how to play the bass, the electric bass guitar.
That which is totally different
Different, yeah.
How is
that? Well, it's not totally different because it's a rhythm instrument. But
well, you could say that, yeah. However, it in my brain, it's like at this stage in life to start learning a string instrument as opposed to the other. How's it going?
It's going. I have a great teacher. Can I say his name on the air? His name is John Freethy.
Oh,
and
yes,
he played a little bit with the band. And so the way I'm learning is he's teaching me specific songs. I'm mm-hmm. still mm-hmm. learning where notes are on the fretboard. I'm learning by memory. So it's,
you know, I think that's probably more interesting than, again, at this stage in life.
Yeah.
It's like to start from scratch could sort of get old fast,
right.
And frustrating. Whereas to take one of these great songs and learn how to play it is probably very satisfying.
It's very satisfying, and I'm very honored to have been asked to be part of the band to begin with, and then to be able to step up into playing the bass. And the bass is a borrowed bass from Sedona's ex-husband, John. Mm-hmm. So there's another John, so I'm thankful to John and John. And I'm also thankful to the Fire Mountain School, because when I retired last year, they surprised me with a going away party that had a lot of cash in it.
And
so I had the money to pay for the teacher. I had the guitar to play with, and I had a reason to play. So it was
how exciting.
It's very exciting.
And the timing sounds right, too.
The timing
is perfect. You retired from your job, and now you can get. Now, how long have you been doing percussion?
Oh, Chuck and I have been doing percussion for probably 15, 20 years. We just
with the tsunami.
And I've been playing with tsunami drummers for a while. Yeah, yeah.
So, Chuck, you on this album are strictly percussion. Of course, on this album, you do play bass on this album.
I do play bass on this album, yes.
Wow.
I'm on three songs, I think.
She did an excellent job.
Wonderful.
I think she's being quite modest. She's doing a great job.
Exciting, exciting. Chuck, I know you, as a percussionist, you used to play with Shy Jazz.
Yes, that's correct.
And we played a lot of their music because they were playing a lot in the area.
Had a lot of fun during those years. I think I was played with Shy Jazz for somewhere between 4 and 6 years
mm-hmm.
and played a full drum kit in those days.
Uh-huh. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm playing the cajon and the bongos.
The cajon, is that the one you sit on?
You can sit on it. Most people do. But
You don't.
My legs aren't quite that long, so so I decided to tilt it back a little bit. Uh-huh. And so I sit on a regular drum throne and play off the face of it that way.
Now, I have not heard that term before, drum throne.
Mm-hmm. The throne just refers to the seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually
Is it a special?
Well, no. Well, they have some different shapes, but generally they're circular, and you just sit on their padded. So
and you get the height that you need.
You can adjust them.
But you need to be honest, Chuck. You also have a crown you wear, too, right?
No. Well. Well, you know, sometimes we call the throne room something else, but we're not sure.
That's true.
I'm figuring that is not on stage. No. So. But I would definitely crown Chuck for sticking with the music. Now, how long have you been with percussion? Did you pick
Well,
it
Barbara
up?
And I started percussion pretty much at the same time. I couldn't guess exactly how long it's ago, but somewhere between 16 years
and something like that.
20, somewhere around that.
We so started. What? How did that happen? I mean, what?
Well, it really started, we got interested in a fellow by the name of Arthur Hull, who was a person who sort of brought the drum circles into a business form. They used it to teach CEOs and executives how to cooperate with each other and realize that there was a conversation that took place not only musically, but business-wise.
Interesting.
And so we attended a workshop up at Brighton Bush, and we're just amazed by his skills and the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of jumped right in and bought some congas, and we use that in a generic sense. We bought a tumba and a conga and a quinto and started playing self-taught. We did go to a couple of workshops, but more or less we just bought tutorials on video and that type of stuff. And
nice that you did it together, though.
Yeah.
In many ways, including encouraging each other and having the companionship, as well as
a
family project. So.
And I'm just totally stoked that she's playing the bass. She didn't mention it, but her husband does support her a great deal in her endeavor.
Oh, now wait a second.
All
let's
the
see.
Expletives.
I wonder who that would be. Oh, that must be King Chuck.
King Chuck.
Well, I know that. I know that for a fact because I've watched this evolution here. So, how did Sedona? How did you bring your band together,
That's
including the McLaughlins?
Yeah. Well, last year we had a band, and it was before actually the McLaughlins came on board, and our bass player Eric Lindahl had passed away, and it really kind of took the wind out of us, obviously, as any band would that loses a member. He was our bass player, and then so Renee, our cello player, she dived in and got an electric cello. You can even see there on the CD, there's her cello looks a lot different because it's open. It's not the full body. Mm. It's an electric cello, and it's a 5-string one. She just was a trooper, and she went in there, and she started filling in for some of that bass stuff. And then that's when I asked the McLaughlins to join in, and at first she was kind of like, well, I don't know, you know. and respectively, she definitely didn't want to overcommit or anything, and at that time it was just about the drums. But then she told me later she's always wanted to do the bass, and Renee, you know, she wants to stick with the cello. She doesn't want to be a bassist.
Yeah.
And so it just was a perfect match.
Fantastic. Yep. Wonderful. Who else is in the band?
Michael Dinan, and he is the vocals, and he's the one that was originally with me on the first CD of The Spark, and he does, as you can see, quite a few different things too, the mandolin, harmonica, vocals too, and then also Bob Latore does the cornet, and he also fills in with percussion too, especially when we do live.
He does version. Theater too, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
He's been on this show for theater.
Exactly.
I love it. All these artists, they just sort of float in and out of the various.
And then Renee Delight Latore, which is his partner.
Okay.
Yeah, and so She does the cello, and she does because Barb is doing bass now, she fills in a little bit with the percussion, like on the shakers and stuff
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we're all learning to have to play some instruments. That's what happens when we're kind of a family band. You know?
Well, and it stretches the band.
Oh, yes.
Fred
LeCaff. And then Fred LeCaff, he's our pianist, but he also likes to do the percussion too. he kind of likes to fill in everywhere. He's got the uke and he's got a lot of things.
But percussion is particularly seductive. It's just in so many ways. But it's nice to have people who know what they're doing. And then the rest of the folks can kind of play along, you were saying. Yeah, yeah. Because obviously, if you're playing any instrument, you must have some kind of rhythm sense.
Exactly.
To get those tones. Yep. So let's mention again, your first CD release party is tomorrow evening right here in Astoria. We are honored. How lovely that you're all coming up
here. In A-Town.
Uh-huh. Yep, in A-Town. And it's at Gala. That's the Hip Fish. And that's 1017 Marine Drive, 8 p.m. And that's a great time. And it's not coincidental. Tomorrow night is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria, and Gala will be part of that. And so the concert is the perfect flow over. End up there and look at art and listen to some hot music. Is dancing permitted to your...
Oh, please, yeah, on this one. We definitely... I mean, there's going to be some storytelling, too, obviously, as with most of the CD release, and because our genre is world folk fusion, obviously having the storytelling is important. But, yes, we've definitely... That's what's nice about the CD. It's got a lot of upbeat songs.
So, and I was wondering, because you retired from Shy Jazz, Chuck, and I think you both do still play drums with drum circles, or
correct.
But how does it feel to be back in a real band?
Well, I sort of feel I've never left. The only reason I left Shy Jazz because at my age I just happened to develop a tremor in my left hand, and so I sort of kicked it back for a while. I had to resign, really, from Shy Jazz, but always kept my ears open, so to speak, and was rather taken by the Tsunami drummers and liked that for a while. But djembes are not my calling. And
Djembes.
Djembe. It's another drum.
Right.
And so when Sedona sort of offered us a chance to sit in.
Great.
We did, and we think we fit well with it, and we've enjoyed it, and it's become a small family group, so it's very, very nice.
Well, I have heard the group, but this, I was actually thrilled to hear this, because it is very professional and tight.
Yes.
And so... it works, because sometimes you go and hear live music, and it's exciting because it's live, and then you listen to the CD and you go, oh, well, that's not quite what I heard, you know?
Yeah,
but this is great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we spent quite a few months getting it all. Obviously, it's a lot different when you're in the recording studio with 7 members as opposed to 2. But it also enhances it so much more. Yeah. Everybody can put more of that say on it. So that's why I believe I give credit to everyone, obviously, on this one. It's tight because we made it that way. We were dedicated. We put our heart and soul into it.
Clearly. Yeah. Well, highly... a cooperative movement here.
Yeah.
So, well, congratulations to all
of you. Thank you.
I'm delighted. And again, the first CD release party is tomorrow night at Gala in Astoria, 1017 Marine Drive, 8 p.m. And then you're going to be doing this again, I'm sure, in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Well, we're like the opening, huh? Like
yeah.
On the road.
This is,
and then you
we're
go
starting
to New York,
our tour.
Which
that's
is
right.
Manzanita.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I've got it.
Yeah. Pages of the Mind tour.
There you go. Okay. Well, great. Have a wonderful time. And, folks, if you can't be there tomorrow night, where can they, should they check out your website?
Website at www.sedonafiremusic.com.
And Sedona is S-E-D-O-N-A, fire music, all one word, obviously. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you so much for coming all this way, and have a great time.
Thank
you. Okay, always good to see you, Chuck, Barbara. And Sedona now, too. New in my life. Got some music lined up for you. from Carolyn Crusoe, who is playing in the same venue the next night. So that will be Sunday evening at 7:30. And that's the 13th of April and at Gala. And she is known as the Queen of the Dulcimer, but she plays also flute. So have a listen, Carolyn Crusoe. And then stay tuned for my next guests. So I want to welcome from the Harbor, otherwise known as the Clatsop County Women's Resource Center, Julie Soderberg is the director. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Carol.
Thanks for being here. And Carol is one of the artists, and I'm delighted. I just got to see a piece of Carol's art. It's in Julie's ear, as a matter of fact, and it's gorgeous. So what made you guys decide to take part in Art Walk?
Well, it was actually a couple of my staff members that made that decision, and I'm so pleased that they took that leap. You know, the Deja Vu Thrift Store is just a great space for us to allow people who create and want to sell artwork for our agency. It's also a way that women can create some financial stability for themselves. So we just thought this was a great opportunity to show that.
Fantastic. And I have to admit that I'm wearing something that is also part. This is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, April. It's also Child Abuse Awareness Month. So we've got a lot to take care of this month and a lot of people who are willing to speak out. And I know that Carol is one of them.
Yes.
So Carol, what's your connection with the women, with the Harbor?
When I first came here to Astoria 8 months ago, I was very desolate. I was suicidal. I just wanted to find a hole and hide. And I found the Women's Resource Center, now known as the Harbor. And they have been the most wonderful support for me and all the groups and the meetings and all the things that I've experienced there. And the people there have just enriched my life so much. It almost makes me emotional, you know, to think about where I was and where I am now. And I have my own apartment, and I'm going to be part of this art walk.
How long ago did you get here?
8 months ago.
Only 8 months, yeah. And your life has totally turned around.
It has totally turned around. I went through 30 years of drug addiction. I've been through, you know, sexual abuse, domestic violence, trauma, you know, and now I'm experiencing the recovery part.
You sure are.
And
you're glowing. I feel your energy and your spirit.
Yeah. And I have this wonderful, wonderful talent that I have in a gift, and I can create anything out of nothing. You know, that's my art.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't need money to go out and buy my supplies and stuff. I just, whatever I find around me, I just grab it and I make something out of it.
So give me a for instance. For example, what was I looking at there? It's just, these earrings are beautiful.
Well, the beads are made out of paper that, I don't know. How did I create that? It's just out of things I have here and there, you know.
So you just got, like, out of magazines?
Yeah,
or
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
whatever
then,
I find lying around.
And then what did you do to make those? Did you roll them up or did
cut them up?
Cut
them and then rolled them and then I put a clear coat sealer on them.
So how did you learn to do this kind of stuff?
You know, I've gone to school for some art, but not necessarily the stuff I do. I've just, ever since I was a child, I just like creating things. I used to go from door to door with the flowers I used to make out of pipe cleaners and fabric.
Oh, wow.
And sell them for a dollar, you know.
Good for you. So not only are you creative artistically, but you're also creative in terms of life.
Yes.
And apparently you had a hard time for a number of years.
I have, but I'm coming alive again. I just gave birth again to that creative part of me. And it's
beautiful.
So exciting. And I have these people from the harbor to thank. I'm so grateful for them that they've brought me as far as I am. Right now, what I'm putting into the exhibit is mainly some masks. And they're all the masks that I've made over the years. Through the trauma, through the
made
you know,
out
abuse.
Of what material? Are you?
Anything. You'll have to come see. Please come see.
I plan to.
Because it's more than I
worry.
Could explain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's all wonderful, and it's the many faces of all the different things, because we all wear masks, you know, as we go through the trials and tribulations of our life. And so I can see a little bit, you know, each one where I was at.
So do you find that your creative juices take you in different directions too? I mean, obviously, because
they won't. Oh, it's yeah. Oh, I can't tell you, you know.
Yeah,
because that is me, is that creative juices. And then, but being in addiction for so long and then coming out of it and feeling that I lost that part of me, you know, but I found it.
Great.
And oh, yeah, it's like it's a creative explosion go on in my new apartment, and it's just art everywhere.
Well, you know, sometimes some of us are not as good at bringing things together. So I'm very impressed that despite all of the explosions of creativity, you're also able to focus enough so that you're able to actually make stuff that you can put out there. And we'll get to see that. Now, tell us where... is the showing going to be at Deja Vu?
Yes, it is. Well, it will be in Deja Vu, which is on the corner of 14th and Duane Street in the Norblad building.
Okay, and that's 1.5 blocks from the radio station, if you know where this is. But basically, it's very easy to find. How many folks do you have showing?
Right now, I think we have about 4 people who are going to be bringing in different items to show. So we're very excited for our first time doing this.
So what did you do? Kind of push things around to make space for the art, or is it?
I believe that is what I know. Carol's been talking with our store manager, and they are working on creating spaces for them tomorrow.
Fantastic. So this is again part of Art Walk, which is 5 through 8 tomorrow night in Astoria and the Harbor, aka Women's Resource Center. Or formerly known as Women's Resource Center, and we will be able to check this out. Now, you have a lot of events that you're involved in this month for sexual assault awareness. Is that right? I saw a list of, well, I saw something about a walk a mile.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
So we're going to do our Walk a Mile with Us event April 30th. This is to wrap up Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We're encouraging everybody from the community to join us at the Maritime Museum at 4 p.m. on Wednesday the 30th. And we'll be walking in the community to raise awareness that sexual violence affects everybody in our lives. And we'll be ending at Deja Vu with a reception and refreshments.
Lovely.
And you should wear the color teal for the walk.
Okay, now listen. My friend and I were having a little bit of a dispute over what color teal is.
Yes.
And then this little girl said, it's blue. And she just looked at, you know, she said, it's blue. I said, her mother said, it's okay, hon. And I said, hey, blue comes in lots of different colors. So yep. When you say teal, what might other people think of? It's like, what was it? She was saying aqua. My friend was saying aqua.
There's a teal blue and there's a teal green.
Oh, you know? Now,
so that's
wait
kind of
a
the difference.
Minute.
You can't just say teal.
Sure.
Well, and the good news is
you
that
you can do any of the above.
Yes. And the color for Child Abuse Awareness Month is blue. So if you fall somewhere in between
in the range,
blue and green,
okay,
you're pretty covered, I think.
Carol, thank you for saying that, because now we have settled the problem why we were having this. But that sounds good. Okay, so that is April 30th on a Wednesday. And then I know, well, I haven't seen it yet, but I understand that the column, the Astoria column, is being lit up in teal.
Yes, and we're so pleased. The city council agreed to change the color of the lights for the column during April to increase the awareness about sexual violence. And that is huge.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it really does impact everybody. So this is a great opportunity for us to remember those women, men, and children who are survivors of sexual violence.
Right. And who are surviving it right now, because Carol's telling us she's gotten out of this and mm-hmm. she's way on her way to healing, but it's probably a lifetime job. But there are many people still involved in this kind of life, and anything people can do to help. And what you're doing right now, breaking the silence, basically,
yeah.
letting folks know there is something that they can do. Now, I also heard that Q Night at the Astoria Coffee House, which is the 19th, okay, that's a week from tomorrow night, is going to be, the first part of it is a benefit for the harbor.
Yes, that is correct. And we are so excited to be able to be a part of that. You know, we really rely on the generosity of the community and then the grants that we come in to support mm-hmm. us. And it's just nice to have that additional support to cover general operating costs, which right. there are a lot of.
Oh, yeah. So that is right on 11th and Marine Drive, the Astoria Coffee House. You can't miss it. And do you know what the timing is on that? I think it's 8:30 or something.
Yep, the pre-party's going to start at 8.
8,
and
okay.
then I believe the dancing will start at 10.
Okay.
So we hope everybody joins us at 8 for
right.
cocktails and mingling beforehand.
And support.
Yes.
Definitely.
Put on your dancing
well,
shoes.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for making this happen. I think it's very exciting. This art walk has a couple of brand new, the Deja Vu for the harbor, and then also there's a brand new gallery in town that is dedicating their first month to Project Head Start, and their children's art, and that's the Luminary Arts on Commercial, 1133 Commercial. So we'll hopefully have time to talk more about everything going on. Thank you so much for coming in, Julie Soderberg, the director of the harbor. And by the way, if folks want to get in touch, is there a website or what should
Our new website's under development, so
okay.
it should be up and running.
Okay.
That's www.harbornw.org.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone number to the harbor is 503-325-3426.
Okay. And if you have any problems, just head on over there. Again, it's on the corner of 14th and Duane.
Yes.
Okay. And make sure to stop by there tomorrow night. It's going to be fabulous. Thanks so much for coming in. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay. And I've got some more folks coming in to talk about the talk about their art, and I'm going to put on that's happening tomorrow night. I'm going to put on a piece of music, from one of my guests. Actually, I'm going to let Jody pronounce her last name for you, because she is not only a visual artist, but she's also a musician. And she and her partner are here, and they'll be playing music at the same time. So you can, I mean, you go out tomorrow night in Astoria, you can get it all. Have a listen, and we'll be right back at you. KMUN Astoria. KTCB Tillamook.
There are trees all around. When the wind stops, I still hear the sound of a good love wanting to be found. Resistance, just a longing to be free, brings redemption, brings me to my knees, in the twilight, washes over me. The light is changing, shifting shadows disappear. The light is changing, another day draws near. Green and growing seeds will be sown, the tiny tendrils make themselves known. Digging deeper, roots will cling to bone, taking hold and standing on my own. The light is changing, shifting shadows disappear. The light is changing, another day.
Folks, this is a twofer. Right at one gallery, you are going to get art and music. And the musician is, okay, I'll make it the short version, Jody Catt, but the real name is Katapothis. Is that close?
That's very close.
Why don't you say it?
Katapothis.
Oh, she does it really fast. Katapothis. Okay, so Jody's art, I haven't seen what's up for this show, but I have seen some of your art at Imogen Gallery, mm-hmm. which is right there on that corner, 11th and Marine Drive, right across from the Astoria Coffee House that we were talking about. And it's a beautiful gallery. And where do you live, Jody?
I live in Portland.
You live in Portland. Mm-hmm. Have you been there for long?
About 12 years, but I've had family there my whole life, so I spent time there my whole life. Feels like an old home.
Where did you come from?
I was raised in Northern California.
Okay, so you're a West Coast person. The name of the show, let me just get this straight, because I don't really know the answer to this one. Is there an equal balance between your music and your visual arts, or do you go back and forth, or is one stronger than the other?
Well, originally I believed it was...
Time-wise, perhaps.
Yeah. But originally I thought it was music. Mm-hmm. Music was first in my life. But then I realized pretty quickly that I was drawing on all of my music books.
This album is gorgeous.
And that's kind of how
it's your art.
How it started, yeah.
Nice. That's so lovely.
I would say they're pretty equally balanced in my life.
And you've been doing both for a while.
Pretty much my life.
Your whole life.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So the name of the art show is Looking for Home. And from what I was reading, it sounded as though you done a lot of exploration, family, ancestors, environment. Give us an idea of how this all comes together.
Yes, I have a few themes that kind of recur in my art and music, and Looking for Home is going deeper into one of those themes. I guess an early starting point would be that when I was growing up, I grew up with one of my grandfathers from Greece, and so we were always, you know, eating Greek food, speaking Greek language, and so I remember it occurring to me as a child, well, what does it mean to be Greek? I've never been to Greece. You know, so what is that? So eventually I went to Greece and found family. And on my mother's side, I have a whole book of genealogy that goes back 500 years.
Wait,
and
my mother is
the Celtic nations. And my father is Greek.
Greek.
So I've just been really interested in exploring ancestral lines. And I think it's fascinating for everyone. Like, where do you come from? How did you land here? You know,
I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. It fascinates me.
Although especially on the Greek food. I'll go with that.
It's hard to go wrong on that one.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And then, is that where the ecology or the environment comes in? Is how it affects who you are when you change environments, or how does it all?
Yes, I think that's a big part of what shapes people. Is usually if they leave their homelands for some reason, there's a catalyst, whether it's environmental or maybe it's religious at some point,
economic,
or, you know, all the different reasons why people immigrate. Mm-hmm. But I think that when they look for a new home, you know, what draws them to a particular place? It's got to be a place that feels like a habitat you can thrive in.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of brings in the environment piece of it, you know.
And I saw at first when I was looking at your work, and it's not so much on the cover here, but I saw a lot of geometric almost patterns, and your colors are quite luscious, I must say.
I'm addicted to color.
yeah. Well, and you're almost melons and fruits and not Greek so much, but also delicious.
Some of the paintings look very Greek colors.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is this how you've worked for a long time? Is it always abstract, or you also have some representational work, or what?
With the painting, it's mainly, I would say, abstracted from nature. It is based in nature, and you know, kind of follows the contours of a landscape a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
With the geometric, which I feel is a nod to our human organization, you know, architecture, the way we divide spaces with boundaries and borders, we sort of often make squarish shapes, you know, to plot out properties and things. So it's a mix of those. And
that's interesting, though, because that can also be cultural. I'm thinking of the African huts where you put a circle around,
that's
you
true.
Know, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. But originally I drew faces and drew realistically for many, many years before I started painting.
And do you... Just for some reason, I have this need, because you're doing so much already. Do you have a day job as well?
Well.
Something to support your habits of music and art?
I teach piano lessons.
Oh.
And I play the occasional music show, but mainly it's the piano lessons that are the sort of bread and butter, along with the art and the music. And I work with my husband. He makes all kinds of beautiful things. We sort of work together in a workshop.
So he's also an artist.
He's
and
an artist
a musician.
With wood and metal, yes.
And a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a prerequisite for a partner? They had
it might
to be
have been
both.
Subconsciously.
Well, it's wonderful. And he's here, although not right here in the air room. So are you both going to be playing tomorrow night?
Well, the show is mainly going to be talking about my art and my process in the gallery, but we're going to sing a couple of songs from my album. So.
And do you play instruments?
Piano is my first instrument besides singing.
But you don't carry that with
classical piano, no. Oh. So we actually have a couple of ukuleles and okay. a harmonica and a few smaller things with us this
okay.
time.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Jody Cat. And why am I calling you Jody Cat?
Because
what did you
it's
say?
Hard for people to remember Katapodis or to spell it if they're looking for me.
Katapodis.
So my website is
jodycat.com. I'm
going to
be dreaming that name now, Katapodis. I love Greek. It's so
But
lyrical.
It sounds like you have an advantage with it already, and not everyone does.
Well, you know why? Because I was living in Turkey, which is not lyrical. Mm-hmm. And every 3 months we had to leave the country. This is in the 60s to get our passport stamped, and we went over to Greece. And Greek, the music, the language, it's all much more lyrical than...
Ne poli oreo.
There you go. Ne. That means yes, of course, rather than no, which is why everybody gets confused. Thank you so much for coming in, Jody. Congratulations on the show. Is this... Now, you've been showing at Imogen for a while?
Just for a few months, actually. A
few months. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, welcome. We're
Thank
delighted
you.
To
I'm
have you
I'm very happy
here.
To be here. Thank you so much.
Good. Tomorrow night is the opening. Is the art up now?
It's being hung as we speak,
It's being hung as... So you might want to wait a few hours, and especially tomorrow night's going to be a blast in Astoria, checking out all the galleries. I'm going to let Jody go, and while she's leaving, I'll tell you what else is happening, and then I have got my last guest, who is somebody you might recognize because she lives right here in Astoria. So what else is happening tonight? I told you about the Coaster and the Astor Street Opry Company, the Real Lewis and Clark, Friday and Saturday at 7. And then the Barn Community Playhouse in Tillamook, A Little Murder Never Hurt Anyone, Friday and Saturday at 7. Get Lit at the Beach, 5 to 7 tonight. Tomorrow, it's 10 o'clock all day, and Sunday is 10 o'clock. Just for a few hours with all of the artists. And tolavanaartscolony.org will get you to the website so you can see the whole program, and it is a blast. Sandtrap is featuring the Wheeler Brothers and Graham Wilkinson at 7 o'clock tonight. That's in Gearhart. Nijuana by the Sea in Seaside, 4 to 6. That's coming up soon. Live entertainment and lots more. Astoria Library, 6 o'clock tonight. Molly Gloss, Falling from Horses and Other Books. River Sea Gallery, well, not going to tell you that one yet because she's sitting right here. But here's breaking news. I just found out about it. There is from 7 to 8:30 tonight, so you can still make several of these things. There is a benefit concert for VOCA, Victory Over Child Abuse. Remember I said this is a Child Abuse Awareness Month as well as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. That is at the AAMC. That's the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And the address is 342 10th Street, upstairs, 7 to 8:30. And it's Keanu's senior project, and he's got all these terrific Astoria High School musical students. Tomorrow night at the Sou'Wester, Laura Gibson at 8 p.m. That's in Seaview. The NCRD has a reading and book signing with Phyllis Sanderson, 2 to 4 p.m. Manzanita Cloud and Leaf Bookstore at 7 o'clock. Lots of books this weekend. I don't know what's going on. Willie Vlaughton, who was one of the guests last year at Get Lit. Apollo Archives, one of my favorite places. It's near Nacelle. They have a book signing. Fins of Grays River with Merle Reinicke. And Peninsula Arts Center is featuring Noel Lenihan, and he's one of the real deals, Irishman, on his flute, whistle, and mandolin. Tonight, the Peninsula Arts Center has open mic. I'm not going to play much of Noel because he's going to be right here on, I think he's coming in tomorrow to play some music for you. But this is his real accent. Let's take him down a little. Tell you the last things. Bay Avenue Gallery in Ocean Park is celebrating their 4th anniversary all weekend. And they have from 1 to 4 ceramics on Saturday. And on Saturday and Sunday, they have Saturday is a 5 to 8 reception. And this is all original artists from the Bay Avenue Gallery in Ocean Park. Oysterville Church, 60th birthday of the town, This is Saturday, folks. Live music and Cannon Beach Library as a cheese writer, Pacific Northwest Cheese. It's part of the author series. And the Lightbox, which is a little bit different from the Astoria Second Saturday Art Walk. They are starting at 6 o'clock, and they have a very special exhibit, as they always do. It's the Portland PDX Photo Month exhibit. I think this is the only gallery outside of Portland that offers it. And there will be 40-plus Portland artists, plus honoring Jim Licey, Matter, Light, and Spin. Jim was, well... Go over there and check it out. If you can't make it tomorrow night for any reason, check these galleries out anytime in the next month. Lightbox is two doors down from Gala. And Clatsop County Arts and Experience Dinner and Art Fundraiser is tomorrow night. And Sunday, Guitar Shorty at the Burke in Birkenfeld. Fort George has My Boys, the Brownsmead Flats. Tomasian Trio with Maggie Kitson at Maggie's on the Prom on Sunday from 5 to 8:30 and Friday at the Living Room. Carolyn is... Sunday, Carolyn is at Gala. That's Carolyn Crusoe. And the Astoria Music Festival, Lewis and Kwok. That would be Sarah Kwok on violin. Love it. Carrie Lewis and Sarah Kwok. St. Catherine Episcopal in Nehalem at 2 o'clock. If you can't do it Sunday but you want to do it Saturday afternoon, call me after the show. I'll tell you about it. Robin Adair is offering her women's writing workshop on Tuesday, 6 to 8:20 p.m. at Patriot 202. You have to register by Monday, so get to the college. That's all I have time to tell you because I really want to talk to Jill McVarish. And Jill is actually having two openings, right, Jill? You've got double whammy.
Yeah, we're having a party tonight and then a party tomorrow.
Gee, this is great. I mean, why not party every night? I like that. So in case you're getting overwhelmed with all these galleries that are showing tomorrow night, just come on out tonight to Riversea, right there on Commercial. And Jill has got an amazing sense of humor. I can tell you that right now. And tell us what you're going to be doing. The name of the show is Everywhere That Mary Went. That evokes the children's.
Yeah, the whole show is based on the old nursery rhymes. I grew up with the Mother Goose nursery rhymes, and I mean, just they're a little bit strange, and the illustrations were just incredible. I mean, they're so inspiring, just how well they're done. And so I've always just loved that book. I've got a copy of it that I've been carrying around since I was like 5. And so I had this idea for the show that, of course, you can't recreate those amazing illustrations. So what I'm doing is something completely different where I just take like a line from any given nursery rhyme and then just do a painting of that particular instance. Like, for example, well, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again.
Right.
Like, I always thought that was really funny because I tried to imagine, like, a horse trying to put an egg back together.
Yes.
And so then I do a painting of just that. And so each one is just a little excerpt of the sort of surreal imagery that comes out of those crazy rhymes.
I think you hit the word on the nail. The word on the nail. The nail on the word. Whatever. You, surreal. Because you are a very fine artist. As a matter of fact, if someone just sort of glances, they would see quite serious art, beautifully executed. But then when you start looking at it, you go, whoa, what's going on here? Like the mouse who has the broken flute or, you know, I love your stuff. It's all so, the concepts are whimsical, but the execution is extremely detailed and beautifully done. So who are you? What's going on in your mind, Jill? You've had training. Tell us about your background.
I have. I started painting when I was really young. My father was a commercial illustrator with some painting background. And so he started teaching me to paint when I was a little kid. And like from ever since I could remember, I was going to be a painter when I grew up. And so, you know, of course I went from onto regular art school and then went to school in Europe and then came back here and probably spent about 10 years out of school, like just, you know, doing my artwork, waiting tables and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then about 15 years ago, I got a really strange kind of commercial painting job where I painted under a pseudonym and I did paintings for a company in Florida that it was all under the name Claudette, but I was paid a salary to make really beautiful traditional paintings that they would then make reproductions of. And the only thing I would hear, I got no art direction except, or make it prettier, make it prettier. So I had I did that for about 12 years. And so I had a lot of time to really hone that skill of making a beautiful painting, because if I didn't make a beautiful painting, I'd lose my job.
Wow.
So that was just years and years and years of practice at that.
And so, getting paid for it.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I can't.
Now, was it you who has the background in Dutch painting?
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
in Amsterdam as well.
Because the lighting in a lot of your painting, there's a glow that comes out of the painting that sometimes reminds me of some of the old school. That's what I mean. If you just glance at it, you see the kind of painting you're talking about. But when you look at the details, that's why I wonder, your mind picks up these surreal moments.
That's been the really fun thing about now finally being able to not have to do that kind of work and be on my own, as I get to, you know, apply all those skills. And but the fun part is to come up with something like this where I take a really absurd idea and then then try to, you know, go about making a beautiful painting of a really silly idea.
It's great. I really enjoyed it. So what are some of the other lines? Can you remember right
off? I could give a couple away. There's the Cat and the Fiddle. Uh-huh. And one that I was drawing some things from was the nursery rhyme where every letter, like A is for Archer, who shot at a frog. And I don't want to give them all away, I had a lot of fun with the Pop Goes the Weasel. There's a couple different, there's All Around the Mulberry Bush, and other versions of it have it all around the cobbler's bench.
Oh.
And so I actually did about 3 paintings just from that one, because that's such a fun.
This is lovely, though, the way you've connected back with your childhood reading, and not just yours, but I think a lot of us were brought up on those rhymes.
So yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are, everybody knows these.
Yeah. Well, I hope people are passing them on to the younger generation, because they certainly are rich. But coming to see your paintings is going to be give people a little extra perspective on these things. So thank you so much.